Sports presents Betting Bites with Damon Betting. Betting Bites with Damon Betting.
Another episode of Betting Bites. This one is interesting, right? Fresh off a loss that looked all too familiar. And listen, I don't want to be that guy that's like, I'm not going to try to tell you how to fan, how to really feel, but I'll tell you a little bit on why I think this one may be different. Number one, there were so many sequences in the game that I think if Nebraska had to do over again, they may do it the exact same way. And I'll tell you why, to the contrary, that may be a good thing. Because I think you want to be a fan of a staff that has some conviction, right? For instance, you know, all the hand-wringing and consternation over the drive that happened with 9 minutes, right? And you're fresh off the 13-play, 80-yard drive. And listen, I want to run the ball too. I do. But you have to remember, the longest run on that last drive was the 27-yarder by Gabe Irvin. And he had to break a tackle at the line of scrimmage through a free runner hitter. Like, it took kind of a Herculean effort from Gabe Irvin. And so I just use that as an example because I didn't really get the sense that Nebraska had great control of the line of scrimmage up front at any point in that game, especially from guard, center, guard, right? I felt like that's kind of why they were focusing on the edge run game and used the big personnel, like 14 personnel, where it was, in essence, one back and four tight ends. So I kind of understood the next sequence a little bit where you take the shot play on the post, and if the ball is up the near hash or the near goal post as opposed to the far goal post, I mean, Tommy Hill clearly has his defender beat. And then the very next play should be a relatively safe play. It's second down. It's an RPO where Kemp is wide open and the ball gets batted. And listen, I know the counterpoint to that would be, man, DB, you know he can't make that throw. You can't make that play. I don't know, do you? Do you want to have a staff that coaches like that, first of all? Right? Because there's a very fine line between conviction and being stubborn. And I think Nebraska staff just had some conviction. I'm not, and hear my heart, it's okay if you disagree. I'm just trying to provide some context and some thought on why what happened happened. You know, because the difference between an excuse and an explanation is ownership. And Nebraska staff's not going to have any problems with ownership, so I don't want it to come across as an excuse. I just want to provide some thought with how kind of what happened, right? Let's go back to the situational play on the goal line before the half. Out of the timeout, it looked as though, and I need to go back and watch again and slow it down, it looked as though there was clear communication that Borkature was going to be the target, right? It looked like there was some affirmation, and I felt good. Real time on air, I can't see what's going on in the game because I don't have the broadcast on in the booth because it was pixelating, but I said, hey, listen, this would be a good time to maybe isolate Borkature on the backside if they want to get in that formation because I think he can win. And they broke the huddle. They came out, and I was like, oh, he even got the little short motion by the wideout to kind of give better angles. He could run the little stick route, the little option choice, right? He is in Borkature. And he was wide open, right? I mean, you make that throw, you feel pretty good about the second half, and you don't leave points on the board, right? Didn't make the throw, and you said, well, why do you put him in that situation? Again, I asked the question, do you really want to if you're playing the long game, which you clearly are with this team, you clearly are playing the long game. You're playing it for a 12-game season, and I know you want to win the game, but you got to, as a coaching staff, you feel like you can make that throw. You can make that play. And so you expect him to make it. And the beautiful thing about it is the next time that play happens, he's going to make that throw. And I think that's what you kind of have to rest in. Because what happened from that is if you heard Coach Rule going to the locker room at half, it was, hey, listen, we're not going to give that, you know, two cares. We're down three. We get the ball. We got to come out and play in the second half. And they answered the dinner bell in the second half on the opening drive after the long kickoff return. So those are some things that you can build on. And again, it's okay to be upset in the moment. I just want to provide some spark and some thought process on the why. Because I tell this to people all the time. Most times people know the what. Like, you're kind of stating the obvious. You should take some comfort in knowing the why. Always ask the why. Because if you ask the why, do you know what happens? It frees you up to be an independent thinker. If you know why somebody did something, whether you agree with it or not, see, now the onus is on you to see if you can handle that, right? Well, I don't agree. Well, I mean, sometimes you don't have to. But at least you know if where people are coming from, it squarely puts the responsibility on you as a rational thinker. You know, maybe some people maybe aren't, some people maybe are, maybe there's varying degrees of rational. I don't know. I don't want to get into that part of it. But at least you can understand it. And so I just use kind of those handful of plays with all the hand-wringing, and just the trumpeting of the obvious kind of drives me crazy. Because sometimes I think for fans sometimes to be able to lay their head down that night, you got to sometimes get into the minds of a coach, even though some of us have never coached before, you don't always have access or things like that, because it's a lot less stress than to just kind of state the obvious. Sometimes when you do know the why, it's a little freeing, and it can give you hope, right? Because what you're hoping happens is the culture has been talked about a ton, right? Accountability, get 1% better, we'll go back and evaluate. This is the first step in moving forward, not looking behind. You know, Coach Rule so aptly said, basically, don't put that crap on me. That's not my, last year's not my burden. And I get the natural inclination for fans to want, oh, here we go again. It's the same old, same old. But have some hope that with a mature adult staff, they'll take some self-inventory. And they'll figure out, okay, hey, listen, sequential play calling, let's take a look at it. Do we feel good about the positions we put our players in? If not, what can we do differently? And the players in the meantime say, okay, listen, I trust the coaches. They put us in a position to succeed. I can look and see that X player is open, or I should have made that throw, or my ball security wasn't the way that it was. And reevaluate, because that's really what you want. You don't just learn to lose overnight, and you certainly don't learn to win overnight. And so I think the practical application of those things can only help. And I get it, right? Oh, DB, man, you just like Coach Rule. This doesn't have anything to do with likes or dislikes of the staff. Do I believe in Coach Rule? Absolutely. Do I believe he's of sound mind and coaching body? I absolutely do. But this is more about releasing you of the stress and the anxiety of feeling like you're stuck. Because my gut says, and I may come back to eat these words, you may cue this up in week 10 and be like, man, DB, remember what you told me in Benning Bites on, you know, Labor Day? You said, and I'll eat it. But I firmly have confidence that the level of conviction and the concrete that's being poured is far from settled. So to make it about last year or losing culture or snake bitten or all these other things that kept coming up over the weekend and Friday after the game, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, just because something always has been doesn't mean it always will be. And if you subscribe to that, why get out of bed during the course of the day? Just plug and play as well. It'd be the same as I was yesterday. That wouldn't be any fun. It's not a fun way to go about it, and it's certainly not what folks that compete at a high level want to do. So I'm not here to put a Band-Aid over a bullet hole. I'm here to tell you it may not be a bullet hole, right? It may just be a little bit of a gash, a cut. Maybe you need butterfly stitches. Maybe we could use a little glue. At some point, you'll be able to use a Band-Aid, and then at some point, you can take the Band-Aid off. And I think that's the moral of the story. However you get us, make sure you do. KFOR at 9 o'clock in Lincoln, 590 ESPN Omaha. In Omaha, we're at ESPN Tri-Cities. We're at Google, the DB Show with Ravi Lula. We have our own RSS feed. RSS feed. You can email the show. You can give us a follow. Make sure you support my man, Robbie. Does a good job challenging me and sparking thought-provoking conversation because we want to be different. Right? I don't want to be like everybody else, just picking low-hanging fruit and stating the obvious. We're in the solutions business, and that's what we try to do. It's another episode of Benning Bites.